Hello, it's time for us to get started here, and I want to introduce our state president, Patty Gregory Shang, and Patty, for sure.
Thank you. I am so pleased to see everyone here. I walked in this room this morning, and you know, I have not been a big planner in this. Kelly Doty's taken the lead, and her committee has just run with this. Awesome job, guys. Awesome job. And I'm so pleased to see all of you here. I have to call Bud out because I've been sitting with Bud, and Bud's kind of a character. And I like his jokes. He and his wife got married in the same day. You know that? He thought it would work much better that way. There you go. In all seriousness, I've been trying to work my way around to the tables, and I've met quite a few of you. I'm absolutely thrilled to see everyone here. And I've already gotten a chance to talk to a couple of you about what we're here really for, which is attaining as much independence as we possibly can. You know, as you lose vision, it's always easy to say, oh, I can't do that anymore, because you maybe can't do it with your eyes anymore. And we're here to try and help everyone do whatever that it is that you want to do as you lose vision, to keep your independence, to give you ideas. I was talking to a lady over here in the front, on my left, your right, in the front, about her pillboxes. You know, pillboxes, is Anna McClurg here from Envision? Who's here from Envision? Okay, Dave? Okay. I'm going to plug your product a little bit here, I guess. You know, they make a product that will read pillboxes to you. I was also telling her that, you know, short of that, there are lots of different ways to label them tactily so that you can feel the bottle and tell what's in it. Doesn't give you as much information as Envision does, but as a temporary solution, it helps you keep your independence. So as we go through the afternoon, please be thinking in terms of what it is that you really, really want to know how to do that maybe you think you can't do anymore. Because I guarantee you there's somebody that still does it. You know, I used to say we could do everything except fly a plane, and now there's a blind guy that's done that in Europe. So I can't think of much we can't do. So there's somebody that can help you think of a way to do it. And if we can't, we'll call National, and I guarantee you somebody in our network will be able to figure out how you can do whatever it is you still really want to do. So welcome to everybody. Thanks to the committee and everybody that's working. You know who you are. I'm not naming names because I'll forget people. It really nicely done. I'm very impressed looking around this room. Good job.
Patty Gregory, oh, this is on?
Yes, sir, it is.
It's on?
Yes.
Okay. Patty Gregory is our good state president, and we appreciate her very much, and she was elected to the national board last summer down at Dallas, so we are proud of Patty. She's a good leader. And it gives me great pleasure as president of the local chapter here in Kankakee, the Kankakee Heartland chapter. We meet the first Saturday in the month. Each month, about 10 o'clock in the morning at the Bourbonnais Library. And we have a very interesting program coming up the 1st of November, the very first day. We are becoming very much aware of the silent cars and the problems for the blind. So we're going to be having some info about some of the problems the blind are having with silent cars. And somebody's going to have a silent car there for us to go out and listen to and maybe take a ride in. And so those of you who live around here, be glad for you to come and join us for that silent car demonstration. Those electric cars, the other day I was trying to cross the street and I heard one. I thought, I didn't hear it until I was just ready to step in the street. And then it just made a noise like that. And it was like a bicycle, only it was louder than a normal bicycle would make. But that's all you could hear right in front. And it's something we're going to have to be aware of in the future as more and more cars are going to be that way. Well, it gives me... Beg pardon? We're going to start with a door prize. Leanne Main, I understand you're over this direction. She's going to draw a door prize. We'll take that now.
Yes, sir. I am to your right, Bill, in the front. Everybody who's facing the front left-hand corner. I'm going to draw a door prize. And I'm going to draw for a talking indoor-outdoor thermometer.
Stay right there, and I'll just get you in a minute.
And I have a name of John Dickman.
I don't think they could tell.
Is there a John Dickman in the room? We got him? Okay.
Oh, he is there. There, here we go.
Could you stand up, John, so we can find you?
Actually, sir, my wife is right here.
Thank you. Do you want a second one, Bill?
I guess that was that one. I just wanted at this
yes,
point.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we want to have a couple of blind folk who have been members of the Federation for a long time to talk a bit about their experiences and share it with you. And the first will be George Villa. He's from Naperville, and he's a friend and a member of our organization. And, George, you can step right up here.
Yes, thank you.
You have 10 minutes to give your life story.
If I run more than 10 minutes, don't give me the hook. Hello. Can you hear me out there?
Yeah.
I'm going to begin this with the something that's very important to me, something that I've used many, many times, especially whenever I've had difficulty, and that is the Serenity Prayer. I'll begin with that, and if you care to, please join me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I lost sight in my right eye in 1987. I had inflammation of the optic nerve and the blood vessels in the eye. I lost sight in about half of the eye. I went to my ophthalmologist and He sent me to an eye neurosurgeon, and we went back and forth, and they said nothing could be done. We'd let it run its course and see what would happen. Well, I became legally blind in the right eye. Now, the definition of legally blind is vision that is 20-200 or worse, or a field of vision 15 degrees or less in your best eye, with correction. So my right eye was pretty much gone. The doctor said there was about a 25% chance that that could happen through my left eye. And of course, I was very concerned about that, but as time went on, I felt more and more secure. And I thought, well, okay, I beat the odds, I'm gonna be okay. Well, 6 years later, it happened in my left eye. I was wearing glasses at the time, and I was seated at the dining room table. I was paying some bills, and suddenly I couldn't see out of the top half of my left eye. So I thought there was a smudge on my glasses, and I took the glasses off. I started to wipe them down, and I said, wait a minute. Even without the glasses, I can't see out of the top half of the eye. So I was very concerned. I went to the ophthalmologist, and we went back and forth with the eye neurosurgeon. And they said, well, we'll have to let this play out, see how it goes. Unfortunately, I lost the sight in the left eye. It took about 2-3 days, and it faded out. Now, no one really said I was blind at the time. My ophthalmologist said, you need to file for Social Security. And I said, well, why do I need to do that? I'm 56 years old. I'm in perfect health. I can't retire now. I thought the only way you could get Social Security payments was to retire at age 62 or greater. The eye neurosurgeon said the same thing. And I said, well, why do you want me to do that? No one told me I was blind. I was legally blind. They said, well, let's try some experimental surgery. We'll see how that works out on the left eye. Well, we tried that, and that did nothing. Run up some big medical bills, and it did nothing. At that time, I hadn't told my family about the left eye. They knew about my right eye, my mother and my sisters. They didn't know about the left eye. I thought that was going to work out and the vision would come back, but it didn't. And I had friends help me out, take me to various places, the doctors, and go back and forth and so forth. And finally, I had to tell my family about that. I was living alone at the time, and my friends were talking to me, and they said, well, George, you can't live alone. You're blind. You can't live alone. We'll see what we could do, if we could work something out, have a caregiver come live with you, or someone come in there to help you out. Or maybe we could find a home for the blind or something like that. And now, this was not done with malice. These were friends of mine. These were seasoned people, businessmen, a few engineers in there. And no one knew. No one knew what to do. No one knew about any blind services, and I certainly didn't. And I said, well, I really want to stay home. I'm going to stay in my home. I don't want to go anywhere else. So I was very fortunate. Just one person, a friend of mine, worked for the DCFS and told me about Department of Rehabilitation Services. And we gave them a call, and they told me the things which can be done to help out. I would go into Chicago and go to rehab. Well, I was very reluctant to do that. I said, no, I just can't go into Chicago. I said, I can't see anything. I said, I'll get run over in traffic, or I'll get mugged or something like that. I don't want to go. But I knew that if I didn't, what kind of a life would I have? The only way I was living is people were bringing food to me. A friend would come over, get a bucket of chicken from KFC, a container of mashed potatoes and some veggies, and I would feed off of that for a few days. Friends would bring over meals that were cooked, and I said, well, I just can't live this way. I have to have a better way. So I decided to take that chance and go to rehab in Chicago. And I worked at the program. I was surprised at the amount of things that I could do. I thought my life was ended. I thought it was all over with. But I started to learn at rehab. I'll just back up for a moment. I'll tell you what the turning point was. I was home. And I wanted to check the time. Well, I had a clock in the kitchen, quartz clock. I could hear it ticking. And I walked over to the wall, kind of put my hands on the wall. And I reached up and I found the clock. And I got closer and closer to the clock. And then finally, my nose touched the clock, and I couldn't see the time. And I said, I've got to do something about this. I can't live this way. So I went over to rehab. And little by little, I started to learn the various things, the activities of daily living, as they called it, mobility, how to use a cane, how to travel safely, how to do my banking, how to buy groceries. Whatever it is that I needed to do, I learned how to do that at rehab. And I was getting better and better all the time. I was steadily improving. And I got to the point where I said, well, yeah, well, this is great. I could go out there. Maybe I could go back to work and try to do that. Well, I had some time off, and a friend gave me a ride to work. I looked at the computer, and I said, I can't see this. I can't see any of the drawings. I won't be able to do that. But there were other things I could do. Instead of working as a mechanical designer, I became involved with a small computer support group, systems backup, documentation, and it worked out well. There were setbacks along the way. You know, this wasn't all straight ahead going forward and everything working well. There were setbacks along the way. I had difficulties. I told people that every progressive step forward crossed over a tear which was shed. And believe me, there were many bad occurrences along the way, setbacks. But I said, if I'm going to have any kind of a life, I have to learn how to take care of myself in an alternative manner. And it worked out. It worked out fairly well. I wasn't expecting some of the things which happened down the line. One of the problems that I had was every time I went into a store with someone, now I live in Naperville and there's no public transportation, so people would give me a ride to a store. And whenever I go in there, I had just a little bit of vision left. I could see the clerk turn away from me and talk to the other person and say, what does he want? And anyone here, the blind here, know that. they he me. And I said, you know, talk directly to me. I'm the one who's going to buy the item. I developed a technique for that to counteract that when I'd walk into a store and I'd immediately start talking to the clerk about anything. I'd just start talking. And eventually they would turn toward me and look at me and have a conversation and we would go forward from there. Well, that worked out okay. When I finished rehab, we had this set up. My mother didn't drive a car, and she lived too great a distance away to come visit. So my sisters were going to pick her up, bring her over to my home, and I was all prepared to do my thing. She was very concerned, of course, about me, if I'd be able to take care of myself and what have you. So I had everything prepared. You know, I had the coffee cake, I had this, I had that. When I'm in my home, I don't use my cane. I know where everything is and I walk around. So she came in and, you know, we had a greeting. It was very emotional. And then I very casually I said, well, you know, let's sit down and we'll have a cup of coffee. I made a pot of coffee. I put the coffee cake in the microwave, turned it on, warmed it up, cut the coffee cake, served it. Did a lot of things like that. Put on a great show, used all the techniques that I learned at rehab, and she felt better about it. I went to work, and I was well-received at work. They helped me out, and they accepted the fact that I could do things. Not all of it was that good. We had a safety officer, and he was very concerned about me being in a building. And his thought was, he said, we need you to tell someone when you're leaving the building and when you come back in. That way, in case there's a emergency in the building, we know where you are and what to do. And I refused. I said, no. I said, no one else does that. I told him, you don't need to know where I am. I know where I am. I know what I'm doing. I can walk into and out of this building any time and take care of myself here or anywhere else. And then I told him, I said, if we get into a situation, now this was toward the winter hours, where there's a power failure in the building, an emergency situation, I said, you call out. I'll find you, and I'll help you get out of here. It doesn't matter to me if the lights are on or off. I'll get out of the building, and I'll take you with me. And then that quieted him down. And he wasn't quite sold on it. I worked on the third floor, and I didn't take the elevators. Not that I couldn't, but I'd like the exercise walking up and down the stairs. So one day as I was going down the stairs, I made the turn at the second floor, and I heard him and another employee go into the hallway, and I heard them talking. I heard his voice. I knew he was in back of me, and I knew he was watching me. So again, I used great technique, going down the stairs, walking out the door. I put on a show for him, and then he was sold. And from that point on, he didn't bother me. I didn't have any problems with that. But that comes with having the confidence in your ability, knowing what to do, knowing how to do it, and saying no. I'm the same as everyone else. I just can't see that well. But I could take care of myself as everyone else can, as well as anyone else can. I could do the things they do. I could be a productive member of society. I can hold a job, and I can take care of myself. And that attitude comes from knowing the alternative techniques. Now, people have said, well, George, you were able to do that because you have courage. You're a very courageous person. And I told him, no, I really don't believe I have courage or a great amount of courage. I always thought courage was the absence of fear. When you see the movies, someone is courageous. John Wayne pulls out the sword and tells everyone, follow me, and he leads the charge. That's not really courage. That's not the absence of fear. Courage is controlled fear. Courage is doing what you need to do despite your fears. The definition I like to use is courage is fear that has said its prayers. And there were many times when I needed to do that to be able to go forward and take care of myself. I had a situation at the bank. I go into the bank. I make a point of going in alone. My wife, Linda, drives me to the bank, and I go in alone and do my banking. That way, people need to deal with me and not with what they perceive as a sighted custodian. So I did this for quite a while, and I got to know the tellers very well. I always make a point of talking to them and saying a few things. And everything worked out well. One day, Linda and I needed to go into the bank and sign some documents and have it notarized. And as we were walking out, I remembered, oh, I need a money order. Some outfit didn't want a check. It was only a $5 amount, but they wanted a money order. So we stopped by the teller. Now, she knew me. She knew my name. We would exchange names whenever I walked up to her window to have a transaction. At the first, I said, I need a $5 money order. The first thing she did was turn away from me, look at my wife, and say, what is his checking account number? And I said, Barbara, why are you asking her for my checking account number? Why don't you ask me? And then she turned and looked at me, and then I gave her the checking account number. I knew my number because at that time I was doing banking by phone, so I knew my number. I told it to her, and she was amazed. But I said, that's part of the same thing that happens. So many people have the perception that if you're blind or if you're visually impaired or you don't see too well, that you can't do things. Yes, you can. But it takes training, it takes dedication, and it takes determination. I've told people that you see the Olympics, you see the young athletes running around doing their thing. You look at the World Series, you look at the Super Bowl. You see great athletes, people who are gifted with superior physical attributes. I said, if you really want to see something, if you really want to see an accomplishment, go to a rehab place, and any of the rehab places. And I said, go to the rehab that I went to and watch someone going out on their first solo run, the first time they go out by themselves. There you're going to see dedication and determination. There you're going to see someone, maybe they don't see as well, maybe they don't hear as well, maybe they don't walk as well as anyone else. But they're determined to go out and make things happen for themselves and to have a life for themselves. And it can be done. I said, you could save yourself $1,000 and you could go there and see a triumph of the human spirit and what the human spirit is capable of doing. And that I believe that. I believe that then and I believe it now. I think it's something that can be done. But it must come from within. It must come from a desire to have a decent life.
Now, our time is running out, George.
Oh, okay, I'll be closing up. Thanks for telling me and not just dragging me off. But the important point of it is, and I'm going to start closing with this, is that you can determine how you live. You can determine what you do. It is up to you. You think for yourself, you decide for yourself, and you act for yourself. And you could do that by knowing the alternative techniques. It works for me, and it works for everyone else. I'm going to end with this. I thought of a number of ways to end my talk, and I wasn't sure what to do, and I don't know if I should end like this or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to end with this, a reading of the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have too much. I have learned this secret so that at any time and any place I am content. Whether I am well fed or hungry, whether I have too much or too little, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ has given me. Thanks for being here. God bless you.
Okay, we have a second blind friend, Kathy Randall from Jacksonville. She's the former state president, and she's been the leader down there in Jacksonville for years and years, on and off. And Kathy, we'll turn the mic over to you.
Got a whole lot of props here, too. I'm going to put them down.
To your left.
There it is.
Got it lined up, Kathy.
There we go. Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Can you hear me all right?
Sure.
Is that good enough? There we go. Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Randall. I'm very, very pleased to be here. Yes, it is devastating to lose your sight, whether you are totally sighted or, as I was always legally blind, and at 32, I lost the 10 or 15% of the sight I had in my right eye. And I think a term that I'd like to use to follow that segues right with George's is it's so important as a blind person, and I found this through the National Federation of the Blind and FB of Illinois, is it is respectable to be blind. This is a slogan that is in the foundation of our organization. I want to say it again. It is acceptable to be blind. And I really learned my acceptance of my blindness through the NFB. We are a consumer organization, a support group for people who are blind. And we use the word blind, whether we're speaking of visual impairment or total blindness. I'm totally blind. But if you can learn to accept your blindness, and I've had so many wonderful role models in this organization to learn from, that you accept your blindness, and then the sky's the limit. You start working on improving skills, and I think the most important things I can suggest to you as blind seniors, I think it's just imperative that you begin by learning grade one Braille. I think it's so important. And I'm going to be over at the table where it's Kathy's kitchen over there. And I like to cook. And I like to entertain. And I like to have people over for dinner. And I try new recipes. My husband will read them to me the first time. If we like them, then I Braille them. I've got about 5 or 6 notebooks of recipes. And I cook from Braille. And I think it works beautifully. I have something here that I want to show you. This is a slate, which is a metal, a piece of metal that opens, and I put Dymo tape through it. And I prefer this way of making labels. I make labels for my clothes that I have sewn in. I make labels. They're all over the kitchen. They're on the microwave. They're on the stove. They're on the oven. Everything's labeled. My spices are labeled. The recipes, address file, phone number file, all that kind of thing. I have Braille all over the house. Braille is just essential. I needed Braille as a kid, and no school system would teach me Braille or had the competence to teach me Braille in my public school district. I went to a sight-saving room. They didn't save any sight or anything else. No skills, no competence. So first let me say, again, acceptance of your blindness. Let us help you. Whether you are living in this area and can be in Bill and Ruth's chapter, fantastic. That would be a most wonderful thing you could do, is to get involved in the affiliate and in a chapter. Braille. Cane travel. I use a long white cane. It's about as tall as I am. And I'm 5'5". I've shrunk 3/4 of an inch, and I'm only 61, and I think this is happening a little early. Anyway, it's happening. But I love my long white cane. It gives a person freedom. You need the skills to use the cane. You just need to get out and use it. It's answers so many questions. You'll get more help than you want. Very possibly. But cane travel and learning to use a long white cane. You can use folding canes. I have them for emergencies. I don't like them. They fall apart sometimes in the middle of the street. That's fun. But I can't overemphasize learning to use the long white cane and joining the National Federation of the Blind. In addition to my, I just brought a couple things that I use a lot. You can come to the kitchen and see our measuring cups, and we have a new thing over there called a tomato and an onion slicer that I hadn't seen before that is really neat. But the Dymo tape, Braille slate, it's a lot easier than the Braille Dymo tape maker that I've seen and had one and used it and in about 2 weeks said, this thing just doesn't work worth a darn. So it's much easier to use the Dymo tape slate. Come by and I'll show you how. And you write Braille with something called a stylus. It looks like a little awl or a leather punch. For anybody who can see it, this is what it looks like. It is wood handle with a little metal tip. Also, I haven't lost this. I've had it for about 4 years now. It's a little signature guide, and I will have someone help me put it on the page where I need to sign my name for something. And it's metal, and it's a really neat little thing. And I keep it in my desk drawer along with some other styluses in a plastic bag in the front of my kitchen desk drawer, and I don't lose it so far. And I brought it with me today. It's just another wonderful little trick of the trade. Another thing that I also love, that I'm on my third or fourth man's Braille watch. I should have brought my pocket watch along to show you, and I forgot it. That's how I started. I started using a pocket watch when I lost my sight. And I thought that was a wonderful thing to begin to learn to tell time by touch. And you don't have a squawking, talking clock going off in the middle of a meeting. I've seen a lot of people have that happen, too. So acceptance of blindness, learning Braille, picking up a long white cane, learning from people who can become some of your best friends. That's what the National Federation of the Blind is all about. And we're so pleased you're here. And may I take questions if anybody has any? Yes.
You love to cook?
Yes.
Did you make us dinner?
Gee, I thought the hotel was going to make us dinner. If I had time, and I would recruit some of you to help. Spaghetti, French bread, salad, how would that be for just an easy... How about a fundraiser in Jacksonville. You want to come down to my dining room? I can seat about 8 or 10 of you, or 12 if we really push it at first. Fundraiser for the chapter and the affiliate at my dining room table. We're doing one in December for our chapter. We're just doing a Christmas party. But any other questions? Yes. Pardon?
Are your recipes for sale today that you have on your table?
No, I don't have any recipes with me. These are recipes I have at home in notebooks that I have just written out, things that I like. And I think the joy of cooking is just a super cookbook. If you can have one cookbook, the joy is a great one. And I just write, you know, things out that I really like to use. And I have one other Braille cookbook that I bought. Braille cookbooks take up a lot of room, but they're wonderful pieces of equipment.
Okay,
thank you very much, everybody. I'll be over at Kathy's kitchen table.
Kathy talked about the long white cane. Well, I like a long white dog. But you really have to use a cane before you get a dog, because you have to tell the dog where to go, so you have to learn your way around. You can do that better with a cane. Once you get going with a dog, it's all kind of automatic. They just take you all over the place, and you don't even have to tell them where, because they know once you go the same route a few times. But it's been wonderful having you all here, and we are going to get ready now for the people who are going to be running their tables, these exhibit tables around. Would you be getting at your table? And we're going to have Byron to go around, I think, starting with my left and going around, letting each exhibitor say a little comment or two about what's at his table, so you will know where you might want to go. And Byron, if you're ready.
Bill, do I get to do door prize first?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yep, we got a couple door prizes here.
Thank you.
Then they will go, yeah.
Anybody here want some money?
Me.
I got an envelope here with $25 in it, and that's going to go to, if I can get the piece of paper out of the box. What? Martha Newcomb? Martha, are you in the room? Okay, we got you. Thank you. It's coming. Yes. Thank you. And the next thing I have is a gift certificate from Independent Living Aids. You have a catalog from ILA in your bag, in your goodie bag. So that's going to go to Frida Peters Johnson. We got her. Thank you. And here's Byron.
Okay, I'm going to take the microphone around and start at one end of the room. We are going to my left, and we're going to start right here, right?
My name is Amanda, and I'm here with Catholic Charities. And we just have different information here about our senior services program, and we have different information for caregivers as well. So we have different information about our senior services and different information for caregivers as well here. So
I think I just missed one.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon Ruda. I'm with the Illinois State Library Talking Book and Braille Service. Wow. All right. I guess they can hear me. For those of you who don't know what we are, we're basically a free mail order public library of audio tapes and braille books, magazines, old time radio shows, descriptive videos, and various and assorted other types of library material. We have 4 talking book centers located around the state: Chicago, Geneva, East Peoria, Carterville, and Springfield. We are a typical public library in that we have your typical bestsellers, genre material, the kinds of books that normal people want to read. So if you'd like to talk to me about this service, anyone who has difficulty either reading or holding a book of standard print material is eligible for our service, including most senior citizens. Thanks.
Thanks, Byron.
Thank you. Okay, and we have another vendor.
My name is Kelly Cuff, and I'm from Riverside Diabetes Center. At the table here, we have a VoiceMate glucometer, which you can check your sugars, and it prompts you in how to go about the different steps and gives you your readings. We also have a large screen glucometer. We have magnifiers for insulin syringes. We have insulin pens and some other literature. So please feel free to stop by.
Here we go. Which one do you guys want to do?
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Michelle, and I'm with River Valley Metro Mass Transit District. I am the Mass Transit District here that serves Kankakee County. Here I have maps and information on our district, as well as if anyone has any questions on some of the new laws that have come out with seniors ride free, and now we have disabled circuit breakers ride free. I do have information for most districts to at least send you in the correct direction.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Daryl Taylor. I've been on the faculty at the Optometry College for several years in Chicago. We offer this service, what we call low vision clinical service. Many of you who still have some residual vision, that vision can be enhanced with many different low vision devices, many of them spectacle mounted to leave your hands free, many of them for distance, for near, for glare control. And we provide complicated a little bit, but clinical examinations to carefully measure your vision and then identify those things which might enhance your vision for you and help you use your vision to maintain your independence. Thank you.
Are you going to listen to us? We're talking about cheating when we play some of these games. we have some cards here that have little braille indentions in the corners, and they have big, big numerals in color in case you have some vision. And then we have a braille bingo game. Anybody like to play bingo?
B42. Oh. B42.
Oh, good. Well, let's see. And then I can't believe this. Dominoes. And they're so visible that, but I'd hate to knock them over. I would be so confused by that time. But now listen, you'll have to hold this. I'm going to demonstrate something. If you want to play ball, see the softball? All right, if you just, as you're getting ready to throw it, you pull out the pin, and then you...
Can you...
You follow the noise, and you can catch it.
All right, we're going to ask people with tables for two sentences. We're going to try to make it short.
Yeah, I'm next. It's Kathy Randall's kitchen. We have measuring cups. We have a huge timer that I'd like to take home, and oh, it's a great big thing. We have an onion and a tomato slicer that is a neat piece of equipment that I've never seen before. So, okay. I'm gone. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Being edited.
Here you go.
Hi, my name's Nikki, and I'm at the crochet corner, so come stop by and feel the samples and the blanket that we made today.
Thank you. All right. And Leanne, door prizes?
No.
I'm just walking by another table. It has door prizes on it, but I don't talk to her. Okay.
Charlie?
There you go,
Charlie. Oh, that's not good. Okay, is this better?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We have Mary Kay Cosmetics, and we definitely believe blind people can learn to have good skin care and do their makeup and feel pretty as they always did.
That's right. Thank you.
I knocked over your mirror, so you're going to want to fix that.
That's okay. There you go.
All right. Here comes another one. Do I talk to you guys? Literature? Who wants to do it?
Pam. Hello, everybody. This is Pam Gilmore. I'm one part of the Braille table. We have many, many things that are Braille lovely. We have about five different kinds of slates. I have some Braille information. I have a few kitchen things here that I use that are Braille, a couple of cookbooks. Now, remember, these are all things that we brought from our own homes, just here for demonstrations. But we can tell you where to get such things. We have a Braille writer over here with plenty of Braille paper. If you want a quick Braille lesson, you can come here. Here you go.
Thank you, Pam.
Carmen, you want to say anything?
Not me.
Okay.
Thank you, Pam. Okay, we're going to ask that you guys keep these short. Mr. Fix-It? Oh, I missed one. Here you go.
Sure, what do you mean?
Hi, I'm Bob. I guess I'm called Mr. Fix-It here today. And what I will be demonstrating are some devices that a blind person can use to measure, like in woodworking. I have several of those, and you can come here and talk to me.
Thank you. And here you go.
Hi, I'm Mary Grunwald, and I'm managing the money management table, where I have a wonderful dollar bill identifier, I have raise line checks, I have a template to go over an envelope so that you can write things out independently, write your envelopes out independently. I have a talking calculator. And I have also a little template that goes over just the regular size checks so that you can continue using those. And I'll be glad to see all of you.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Next. Hi, I'm Lori Brown, and you can locate me at the Get Around table. And I have about seven different canes, different sizes, and I can show you some techniques on how to travel with your cane. And if you have any questions about travel, I can answer them. So come see me.
Thank you. Hello. I have a microphone for you.
What size? Yeah.
There you go.
What is that for?
You're giving a short description of your booth.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Len Leschak. I'm with Reading Systems. And I have today two video magnifiers. One is a 22-inch color autofocus unit made by HumanWare. It has 16 different color settings in text. It has color mode. It has a brightness button where you can adjust the color density or the image quality. And it comes with a 3.5-year warranty. It is the only unit that can use a computer monitor or a TV set. The second unit I have is a unit by Vision Technologies. It's a used machine, and it's priced very competitively. It's an autofocus color with a 20-inch screen, and I market that with a 90-day warranty. And I also have a handheld unit, a portable video magnifier by Quick Look. It's autofocus. It has magnification levels from 3 to 16 times. It has a battery rechargeable life of 7 hours, and it's one of three models in the Quick Look family. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Good
Good afternoon. My name is Ronna Reagan. I'm from I Can See Clearly. We have two stores in just north of Chicago. We have over 300 products to help you maximize your independence. Today I have two different lines of handheld magnifiers, three different portable magnifiers, some specialized lighting called Ott lighting, and several talking products, as well as large key computer keyboards. We also have 10% off coupons if you would like to come into the store. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And both of these are yours?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, I'm David Meyer. I'm with the... hang on just a minute. I'm David Meyer, and I'm with NFB Newsline. NFB Newsline is a newspaper by telephone service where you can read any one of 250-plus newspapers, magazines. We also have television listings for a number of different services, including the free stations, cable, Comcast, Dish Network, DirecTV, and a few others as well. We also have, as a part of Newsline, our new blindness information channel, which has a variety of articles from about 10 different agencies right now. We've had 14 different agencies represented since starting the information channel. And probably the nicest thing that we, and newest thing that we have put up on the information channel at this point is position papers for the presidential and vice presidential candidates, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, John McCain, and Sarah Palin. It's free of charge. You only need to be visually impaired, blind, or physically handicapped in order to read the use the service. And with over 250 newspapers, television listings, and the election information at no charge, we hope to be of service to you. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go back to these tables over here that we missed. Who wants to do it, Donna? Or?
Two of us.
Hi, I'm Gary Johnston. I have the Wilson voice recorder. It records an hour of information in 15 four-minute increments. It's very reasonably priced and a great type of voice recorder.
Do you want to do one, Don?
Yeah. I want you to put your mic down by the speaker.
This is just a very quick description of your table.
I know. Put the mic down by the speaker.
Hi, Byron. This is the Victor Reader that I'm demonstrating to you. This is the Victor Reader that I'm demonstrating to you.
Okay. As here. You want me to talk? As you can tell, I'm demonstrating the Victor Reader, one of the newest products that is out on the market. It's sort of being nicknamed the blind iPod. You can download all of your NLS books and books from Bookshare, books from Audible, your RF B&D books. They're all available to you. And for people that want to know, the new 16 gig card HC works beautiful in it. That's it.
Thanks, Don. Okay. Here's another table.
Hello. This is Bill. I'm from Springfield. Have you ever wanted to read a menu or a label on a bottle or any print or typed materials, even a sign? I have here a thing called the KNFB Reader Mobile, which will shortly introduce itself. But I hope you come over, and if you have some print material, I'll demonstrate it to you.
Yes. My name is Marco Giannotti, and I have a digital talking blood pressure monitor. So I look forward to having you come over and check it out.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Lucia Au, and I'm with Dobek Medical Supply and Pharmacy. Today I have the Voice Blood Glucose Meter by Prodigy, which won the Access Plus Award from your organization, the National Federation for the Blind. Dobek is a local company at 113th and Cicero in Alsip. We carry all medical supplies except oxygen. One service we have that would be very good for you is that we will bill your insurance company. We do all the paperwork. We work particularly with Medicare, Medicaid, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, and HMO Illinois. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay.
My name is Dave Bodie. I'm with Envision America. We have two products. We have ID Made Omni, which is a talking barcode scanner. And for the NFB members, we're doing a payment plan where we don't charge any interest for it. So come find out about that. And then we have Script Talk, which is an audio prescription reader. And also for NFB users, we're giving them away free. So come and learn how you can do that as well.
Do you want to do a quick description of your booth real quick for us?
Oh, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Ed Vitu, and I'm a distributor for several companies who deal with technology that has to do with information access for persons with visual impairment. Among the items we have are standalone print reading, scan and read software for your computer, screen readers, screen image enlargement, braille displays, braille embossers, translation software, accessible personal data assistants, and CCTV enlargers. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Okay, and a few more. Could you give us a quick description of your team?
Yes, actually. Excuse us for a second.
Hi, my name is Denisha Winfrey. I work for DHS, and the Bureau of Blind Services, and we provide older blind services to make people independent to stay in their own home and provide adaptive equipment as needed. There you go.
Hi, my name is Randy Cook. I'm with the Bureau of Blind Services, State of Illinois. And another program we offer is a vocational rehabilitation program, which means that an individual who needs extensive independent living skills training, we provide that. And we have a service plan that is developed with a client and list of services and recommendations are noted on the plan, and we also provide adaptive training as needed in the area of screen access program, JAWS, Zoom text, and window eyes, braille communication. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you give us a very quick description of your table real quick?
Hi, this is Options Center for Independent Living, and we have vision aids and other aids to keep you independently living in your own home.
Thank you. Did I do you guys yet? I did. Okay, so we're good. I think I've covered all the tables. So feel free to look around and enjoy the exhibits. Is there any other stuff you guys want to say? Okay, I think that's it.
Way to work a room, Byron.